Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day. I tell you what, this is it's really the second day this week where we've just had a good, steady drizzle. I was sitting with a couple of buddies of mine today as we watched the daybreak over the harbor. And as the lightning was flashing over the Gulf of Mexico, it was just, once again, causes you to realize just how magnificent God is. You know, I just looked at it and thought, man, you know, here is the beauty in itself. Now, I love it when the sun's shining, but it was just great. And then we had a lot of the fishermen, the captains come in, and they were sitting around chatting and telling their fishing stories. And, you know, I'm truly blessed as I look at life. And each day, as we all know, before I get into today's talk, as we all know, we go through challenges. You know, it's one of those things that you, if you took each challenge by itself and just focused on it, you'd probably kill yourself. It's just, you know, but when you look at the big picture, when you realize that life truly is an epic adventure, it doesn't have to be a nightmare on Elm Street, but it's an epic adventure, and that it's a never-ending journey. You know, then all of a sudden you realize, and you're able to put things in perspective, I think. You know, at least I am. I mean, it's one of those things that as I look through my last 46 years, I realize just how blessed I am at every turn, every angle. Excuse me. And as you're sitting sometimes by yourself, your mind will go backwards, clear back to your childhood. I was sitting here today just kind of meditating and praying and, you know, thinking about life. And I remembered some of the most crazy times in my life. But yet fun times. I used to, with my mom, we would walk over to my Aunt Arliss's. She lived across a busy highway and around the corner, so we would walk over there. And it was a time where I remembered my cousins, and we'd play and have fun, and we'd get in fights all the time. But it just, out of the blue, it just came to me, you know. And I was thinking of my Uncle Larry's old cougar that he had we'd go running around in. You know, I, as I go through my memories, I think of good times, and then I think of challenging times. But I realize that each life experience that I went through has caused me growth. I'll give you an instance, and then we'll get into keeping your eye on the bookie. I remember sitting at the dining room table one day. We were, I don't know if we were building a new home or if we were just, it was one of those time periods where we were just hanging out. But we lived over on a little street in Kansas City, Independence specifically, called Norwood. And as I looked out the front window, I saw a dog that was tied up in the fence. I mean, literally, somehow, the dog had gotten its foot caught in the top of the fence. Now, I didn't think. My daddy used to tell me that was my problem. I just acted. I never thought. And I'm away from the table. I'm across the street. I'm trying to help the dog. In trying to help the dog, I hurt its foot even more. I mean, think about it. If your foot was stuck in a fence and somebody touched it, you'd probably slap them. In this case, the dog bit me right on the face. Dog got loose. I got the dog loose. However the heck. I mean, what do you know? You got blood coming down your face. Dog runs off. Now, I'm not going to go into what happened after that. You know, you got to find the dog. You got to get shots in your stomach and all that stuff. But here's what happened. Almost 20 years later, I hear a blood-curdling scream. I go running outside, and here is my middle boy, JT, running across our yard. He's got blood coming down his arms. He's got this gigantic pit bull chasing him. Now, I've already had the experience of having a dog about as close to your face as you can get. And now I have the extra adrenaline of this is my son who is bleeding, obviously, because of a dog bite. So I had no problem running down there, letting my son run past me, and as the pit bull jumped in the air, grabbing the little ding by its neck and wringing its head. And I literally carried this 150-pound pit bull back across my yard, up over the little hill, and threw the doggone thing inside its pen. And as I was sitting here this morning looking at that memory that I had and realizing once you've looked fear in the face, the next time's real easy. And although this is just about a dog, I don't fear dogs at all. Matter of fact, there's not much I fear, whether it's two-legged or four-legged. But you realize that you, when you look fear, when we stop worrying, or as my dad would tell you I didn't do, when I didn't think, I just reacted. Sometimes we will think ourselves into oblivion. We just don't move at all. We're just there. Oh my gosh, what if? 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 And then I had another thought, and it was kind of funny to me. It may not be funny to anybody else. It may really not be funny to my dad. But here he is telling me all my life, boy, you need to think things through. You need to stop acting. Don't act so fast. Think it through. You're too spontaneous. And then I'm sitting there today, and I start laughing, and one of my buddies said, what are you laughing about? And I said, oh, man, I'm just thinking about my past. But my dad marries my mom within 2 weeks after meeting her. Now, that in itself may be pretty normal, except we're talking about the 1960s, where he's not marrying, you know, a girl that he's known all his life. He's marrying a girl that he's known for 2 weeks who has a little two-year-old boy. And I'm thinking, okay, at least I know where I got it from. Because there's times in your life when you just know you got to act. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I got to share that this morning. It doesn't have a cotton-picking thing to do with the chapter that we're going to read on. Well, I guess it does. I'll actually blend it in somewhere in this chapter. But I sat back and I thought, man, I love my dad to death. Because if he had not taken the risk of going outside the box some 48, 49 years ago, my life would not have turned out the way it has. And you may say, well, wait a minute. But it wouldn't. Now, I'd have had a great life, I'm sure. My mom's a hottie, so she'd have found somebody. They'd have fallen in love. You know, life would have been that way. But as I'm sitting here thinking this through, my mom took a risk, first of all, in raising a son. And instead of giving me up for adoption or aborting me or whatever they did in the 60s, obviously I wasn't around in the early years, she said, this is my baby. My dad took a risk by saying, here's this little hottie with a kid. What am I getting myself into? He took that risk. And because of those two taking risks together, I've been married now to the same woman half of my life. I have learned how to communicate. In some cases, I probably learned how not to communicate. I've learned that love is not a couple of words that you say. It's not a little, you know, little event that takes place behind closed doors. I learned that it was a commitment. And I believe that because of what I've learned from watching my mom and dad's life experiences, matter of fact, it's kind of funny because my mom's a short little thing. My dad's a stud, and she used to control him. I mean, he didn't have a ring in his nose, but man, when she got pissed off, I guarantee you, that old phrase, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy, trust me, daddy did all he could to make her happy. But it's funny when I look back now. because there were times in my life when I thought, man, why is he put up with this crap from her? Or I'd think, why is she putting up this crap from him? Now, I'm not talking about affairs or anything like that. I'm talking about just attitude. Of course, growing up, it was always me with the bad attitude. But when I think this through, I think, man, all of those events that took place helped me to become the husband. And, man, I'm far from perfect. My wife will tell you that. But I learned what love meant. I learned what it meant to take a strategic risk versus a gamble. And that's how I'm going to tie this little editorial or whatever they would call it in the journalism world into today's chapter. See, there's a difference between gambling and risk-taking. Fine line, without a doubt, but there's a difference. And that's what we're going to cover. In today's book, Michael's covering in this chapter, chapter 7, keep your eyes on the bookies. And as I read through the chapter, I thought, man, I don't know if this is even relates to my listeners, which most of you are just hanging out like I am. You're in direct selling, doing something. But I realize a lot of you are in business. A lot of you either work for a company or you run the company. You manage the company. You do something there. So as I was reading on here, he starts talking about how gambling is the number one income producer for organized crime. And it's funny because if I was to go out and talk to a Generation X or Generation Y and talk about Vegas, I can pretty much tell you they're going to tell me all about the big publicly traded corporations that built Vegas to what it is today. And I would agree with them, and then I would say, now let's take some time to do a timeline, and let's track Vegas back and see who makes the most money from Vegas. Because even today, you would find that through legitimate businesses, organized crime still controls the gambling industry. And all of the subsidiary operations from gambling. The legalized prostitution, the massage parlors, the strip clubs, everything that's there. That's why everything that happens in Vegas obviously stays in Vegas. And I looked at that and I thought, man, Michael's bringing up a good point. Because what he talks about today isn't the fact that, hey, let's go gamble or gamble's a sin or don't go gambling. What he talks about is the addiction to gambling. I read an article today about a gentleman. He was a speed runner or racer or something in the Olympics. Won the silver medal in 2007. And yesterday called the police, told them where to find him, and killed himself. And in the article, it talks about how he'd gone to Vegas and won $550,000. Gave away some of it, and then just blew the rest of it. And I thought, man, the lure of easy money. I spent a week in Vegas earlier this year, and not one time did I gamble. My baby girl and I had a wonderful time. We saw a lot of different shows. We were there with Michael Yank and the Association of Network Marketing Professionals. But I looked around at the people that were there and thought, man, this is crazy. And then I started reading Michael's chapter. He says, as a mobster enriching himself on the habits of gamblers, I helped destroy several businesses. I personally took ownership of a Chevy dealership on Long Island from a businessman who couldn't pay his debts to the tune of several $100,000. I watched his owners lost restaurants, athletes shave points in games, bankers pass bad checks. Casino managers embezzled money and cops looted drugs from the evidence room, all to feed their addiction. I have a friend of mine, former close friend, who at one time was the biggest bankroller on the Emerald Coast. He shares about these addictions. I've lived these firsthand. I know because he shares the highs and the lows that gamblers go through. And I thought about this for a minute. And then Michael goes on and he says, but Machiavelli wrote that through gambling, you can control your enemies. And I thought, man, how true this is. See, if you can get somebody else to gamble, you could be in control of them. But now here's the sad point, and this is what I want you to think about. What happens when your employees, your spouse, your children, your team members have this addictive personality? See, unlike the days of old, now you can gamble online in the privacy of your home. And that made me wake up a minute. I thought, okay, how much time is lost through men and women, 60% of men, 40% of women, who go check out porn sites on the internet? How much time is wasted? Now, see, again, I'm not trying to control your morality. I'm trying to make you think about this thing from a logical deduction. See, a lot of my Christian friends, sometimes they look at me like I'm just a nut. Because they'll say, well, porn is a sin, or gambling is a sin. And I'll say, you know, we can justify or we can not justify everything that the Bible might say. I can show you where godly men and women cast lots or play dice, if you will. And God used that to his advantage. I can show you where he used prostitutes to his advantage. I'm not talking about sexually, but he obviously hung out with them. I can show you where the Bible says you should not look on a woman because of it will cause lust and fire. I can do all that stuff. But at the same time, I don't think it's actually the act that's the issue. See, here's where we're going to go with this, and this is what Michael talks about. God, this is my belief, again, understand where I'm coming from if you're new to our show. I sometimes get my personal beliefs in here because I control the switchboard. But here's the kicker. I believe God gave us a certain amount of time in our life, and we're to be a good steward of that time. Now, everybody understands what stewardship is. It's that fiduciary responsibility that we have. So let's put this into a current perspective. You're a business owner or you're an employee. You're working for somebody or you're running the company. Time is of an essence. The one thing we can never get back is time. We're to have fiduciary responsibility for the time when we're working for somebody else. Even if we're the president of the corporation, we still answer to the corporation. If you're a sole proprietor, you still are answering to something here. So if you waste your time, in other words, if you're not being a good steward, if you're not being fiduciary responsible, how many hours a day might you blow on a porn site? Let's use that as the first example. You already agree that, okay, Troy, I don't have a problem with porn. I like women. Women naked are cool. I like seeing people. Okay, all that. But what about the time that you're wasting? Are you doing an injustice to the company, to your family based on that? Now, let's take it back to context of gambling. You're on a site. You decide you want to play some game and you're at work. See, gambling doesn't necessarily mean Vegas. It doesn't mean rolling the dice. It means any online deal too. So you're over in fantasy football and you guys have a side bet going on and you're picking your team. Whoa, am I stepping on some toes? You wonder why your business isn't growing. How much time is truly wasted? Michael shares a little story here. He says, a few months ago I did a presentation for a few hundred concerned members of a church organization in Nashville. After getting done with my presentation, I stood around and signed some books. And on this particular evening, I met a man who owned a small technology company. They had about 175 workers. He said, you know what? We just hired an internet filtering company to do some security scans on the company computers. For a month, they did the scan. They watched. They monitored. He was shocked to learn that in 1 month's time, collectively through 175 employees, that 3,800 hours were spent on gambling sites in 1 month. The accounting department added this up, and the company was footing the bill for the employees in the tune of $1.5 million in lost time and productivity. Wow. See, you wonder why your team's not growing. You wonder why your business isn't growing. We have a situation where the internet, whether it's porn, whether it's gambling, whether it's, you know what, whether it's on Amazon or eBay trying to sell crap or look at crap, it doesn't matter. Anything in excess is going to cost your company. It's going to cost you if you're a sole proprietor. If you don't think it can happen to you, listen to some of these stories real quick. A local attorney charged with embezzling money from clients for gambling might have stolen far beyond the original $1.1 million. That was an attorney in the Detroit News. A local attorney who loved what he did, but he got hooked on this gambling deal, and then he started taking clients' money to pay the gambling debts that was supposed to go to his law firm. Or here's one out of another one. A commercial bank manager with 40 years on the job pled guilty to embezzling $1.5 million, all lost in the slot machines. Here's another one. A 69-year-old former president and chief operating officer lost a fortune after years of struggling to control the gambling addiction. He pled guilty to fraudulently obtaining loans that prosecutors said he used to help pay off $30 million in gambling debts. A 66-year-old grandmother from New York was sentenced to 31 months in federal prison in order to pay back $4.9 million she embezzled from a former employer. Here's one right next to my hometown. A head cashier of a St. Louis County Recorder of Deeds office stole $863 from a title company by overcharging and pocketing the difference. She took $200 to $1,200 a day starting in 1995 just for to pay her gambling debts. Men and women. Women are now big-time gamblers. Not illegal gamblers, but legitimate gamblers. It's something that they control. They can go after that money. If they win, their husbands or boyfriends or whoever are happy. If they lose, they don't tell anybody. I had a good friend of mine. We were in business together. After, long story short, and I'm not going to go into it, the business went under. His brother went to prison. He and I went our separate ways, but one day we met for coffee. I said, "How's everything going?" He said, "You're not going to believe this." He goes, "My dad had to go back to work." I said, "Why? Your dad retired. He's financially independent." He said, "Because when the riverboats came into Kansas City, my mom ended up becoming a gambler, Troy, and he didn't know it. He didn't know anything about it. She ended up taking out a second mortgage, forging his name, taking out credit cards, all to pay the gambling debts." So when I sat here and I looked at this chapter today, I realized that we, as the business owners, we as individuals, must keep the eye on the ball. If you're running a franchise, if you're working for somebody, it's your responsibility not to get caught up in this crap. If you're building a network marketing, a direct sales business, most of those companies end up in Vegas for a convention because it's inexpensive. You need to pay attention to what you see happening on your team. If you see somebody cutting out of the meetings early and hanging out at the slots, the blackjack table, those one-armed bandits, pay close attention and see just how, if it's a habit or if it's just something they're doing to have fun. We've got a new company that I'll be doing a review on soon that's into the gaming deal, all online. In my reviews, I will be bringing up this concern that although this is legal, it's okay to do in the United States, people need to be cautious. See, I'm a firm believer that I could go out because I just know my limits. My boys would tell you, I don't even play video games because I know I'm addictive to any. I mean, if I lie, I'm going to go for it. I'd see that in business, so why the heck would I put myself in that position? But I also can notice it in other people, and I will be doing this review, and I will be sharing this concern. King Solomon wrote this. He says, "Know well the conditions of your flock, and pay attention to your herds, for wealth is not forever. Not even a crown lasts all time." I believe as leaders in direct selling, in business, especially in our home, there comes a time when we draw the line and we say enough is enough. And we call people down that we love and we tell them, no, it's going to be this way or the highway. It goes back to that commercial, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Well, friends don't let friends do anything that's self-destructive. Sadly, gambling is now woven into the fabric of our society, Michael writes. It is a multi-billion dollar business and growing. It's as much American culture as apple pie. An FBI agent has stated, baseball is no longer America's national pastime, gambling is. He goes on and he says this. Business owners today operate within the gambling culture. It would be wise to recognize it as a possible threat. A gambling problem in your business, your own or an employee's, can derail the success of your business. If you run a network marketing business, you have so much cash flow flowing through your doors that you may have an employee that thinks you won't miss a couple hundred thousand a month. Pay close attention to what's going on. Here's the takeaway for today. Don't roll the dice on your business. A gambling issue, whether your own, your partner's, or one of your employees, or even that of a stranger's on the street, can impact your business and your life in a big way. You got to watch. Number two, online gambling drains a business resources. Let me share a little story. We got a minute and a half left. Right off the coast of Great Britain is an old, abandoned oil platform. Although it's set right outside British waters, Britain tried to control it. A court said, no, that's in international waters. The people that own that platform have created an offshore gambling haven to where they have banked, they have their own country. It's all for gamblers, to where they can gamble there, bank there, do everything there. That's how massive this is. Thirdly, gambling can be an equal opportunity destroyer, available to all takers regardless of their age, race, creed, or gender. You have to be careful. This is huge, folks, or Michael wouldn't have put it in here. I've seen it firsthand. When you've got a lot of money rolling through the doors, it can go out. As I told you earlier about my friend, I'd watch him go and drop as much as $1 million a week. So be cautious. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow where we talk about how to learn from your failures. Bye now.